the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
As the day continued, others failed to strike a chord with their
instrument. Disappointed and upset, and I'm undecided right now.
After a period of shame in the media,
the potential consequences will be devastating.
You have been tweeting me.
What's a gay wife?
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. The groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show on the air till 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass of media and talk radio and behind the issues, the news stories, and maybe even what you yourself believe. Arabic flashcards lands a student in handcuffs for suspected terrorism. And MSNBC says the snowstorms hitting the East Coast are caused by global warming. 877-876-PHIL. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking a little bit about that this hour. We have Dean Wheeler with us from the Northern California Holistic Center. Dean's been on our program. He is a prominent progressive in the Bay Area. And we're going to talk a little bit about President Obama and President Bush and how they have dealt with respective weather disasters. Now, again, like I said last hour, no way am I comparing the blizzard of 2010 yet to Katrina. It's not even a fair comparison. What is fair, though, is the comparison, I think, to the comparison, I should say, between the two presidents. Anytime there was something similar in any administration, we like to look back and say, well, how did this guy do? What did this guy do? You know, now, the worst winter ever, question mark, is the headline in Associated Press. Well, the second blizzard in less than a week buried the most populous stretch of the East Coast under nearly a foot of snow on Wednesday, breaking records for the snowiest winter and demoralizing millions of people who were still trying to dig out from the previous storm. Conditions in the nation's capital were so bad that even plows were advised to get off the roads, and forecasters were eyeing a third storm that could be brewing for next week. For many families, the first storm was a fun weekend diversion. People even went skiing past Washington's monuments. But on Wednesday, the blizzard quickly became a serious safety concern. The Pennsylvania governor shut down some highways and warned that people who drove were risking their lives. Up to 16 inches fell in parts of western Maryland, Reagan National Airport in Washington, nearly 10 inches by 2 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and Baltimore got nearly a foot. That was on top of totals of up to 3 feet in places from the weekend storm. We've got quite a bit of news to give you, and then we're going to get on the line here at Dean Wheeler. But the snowstorm hitting the Atlantic, the mid-Atlantic region, and people discussing it in terms of global warming certainly became an issue of some significance today. Here is MSNBC's Dylan Radigan claiming the snowstorm is proof of global warming, even though he's not a scientist and he's talking through his ass. But let's listen,
shall we? These snowpocalypses that have been going through D.C. and other extreme weather events are precisely what climate scientists have been predicting, fearing, and anticipating because of global warming. Why is that? The thinking that warmer air temperatures on the earth, higher air temperature,
yeah, go ahead,
has a greater capacity to hold moisture.
Oh, I see.
At any temperature.
Right.
And then as winter comes in,
okay, go ahead,
warm air cools full of water.
Oh.
And you get heavier precipitation on a more regular basis.
Well, that's easy enough.
In fact, you could argue these storms are not evidence of a lack of global warming, but are evidence of global warming. Thus, the 26 inches of snowfall in the D.C. area and the second giant storm this year.
Douche nozzle.
Does this have anything to do with global warming?
Uh-huh. Well, it's an interesting point. Global warming skeptics love to say, oh, it's snowing. What happened to global warming? But there is a school of thought that says global warming will provide more moisture to the atmosphere, which will allow for bigger snowstorms like this one. So really, it depends on which school of thought you attest to, but it could go either
you're
way.
You're playing it right down the middle, but I was taught that we're talking about climate change here and more severe weather, so I'm not sure that a lot of snow refutes all the evidence to the contrary.
You're not sure, but then you really don't know, and the reason why you say what you're saying there, Contessa, is because you don't want to lose your job, which you're really, really close to losing, because, by God, has anybody sounded dumber than you on MSNBC? I don't think so. Now then, Moving on, MSNBC's Chris Matthews criticizes those saying the snow proves global warming is a hoax.
Here's Senator Jim DeMint twittering yesterday, quote, "It's going to keep snowing in D.C. until Al Gore cries uncle." And here's Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell when asked about passing climate change legislation just yesterday, quote, "Where's Al Gore now?" Well, here are the facts, gentlemen. The average global temperature last year was the second highest on record. The past decade was the warmest ever. Cold weather in one area over several days doesn't change the reality of what's happening to this planet. The only one we've got, by the way. It isn't something to laugh about, gentlemen, unless you don't care what happens to this planet down the road. And I suspect that some of you folks sadly don't.
Well, Chris, and I've got on the line now with me Dean Wheeler, just to say to Chris Matthews, first of all, Chris, on record means about 150 years. So that leaves, I don't know, how many thousands, if not millions of years that aren't on record. So when we say on record, we think very highly of our ability to keep records as human beings. We keep them very well, but we've only been keeping weather records very, very shortly. And we have to study what this Earth has been through geologically, obviously. Secondly, of course, this is in dispute as we speak whether this decade is the hottest ever. We happen to know that NASA's had to go back a couple of times and redo the numbers. And thirdly, no, I don't care what happens to the planet. I'm just kidding around. Dean Wheeler joins us. Dean, today on Facebook, I made the following comment, okay?
Okay.
I said George Bush was accused of genocide during Katrina by the very same people who today can't seem to find the snowplows for Washington. And I got a lot of very, very extreme reaction. A lot of people weighed in on that because I think it was essentially a very clear point. The Republican administration was, you know, the Democrats went over the top accusing Bush of being a genocidal, insensitive, didn't care whether people lived or died, by people who today don't know whether to declare an emergency, don't know where the snowplows are, aren't really sure how they're going to open up streets. You know, there are elderly people, and it's not nowhere near the disaster that Katrina was. Not even on the same, it's not the same book. But the fact is, there are elderly people that can't get out of their homes. There are people that can't get out of their homes to find what they need. This is a city that is being that has been shut down for the second time, Washington, in a week. So let me put it to you. What was wrong with that statement? George Bush accused of being genocidal during Katrina by the very same people who can't find the snowplows and can't seem to figure out how to open streets and don't know when to declare emergencies and when not to.
Well, so, first of all, I think it's very neat and tidy to say that here is the comeuppance. Here is the moment where Barack Obama has put his foot in it and has to pull his foot out of it, otherwise he's going to look like George Bush. I don't think, and I'm glad you made the point, it's almost obscene to compare what George Bush did during Katrina to what President Obama is accomplishing. I think the president is accomplishing a great deal. I think he's showing people a great deal of restraint. I think he's assessing the situation. I think he is looking at all of his options. We do not have the emergency that we had in New Orleans. There are not people being flooded from their homes. There is not an immediate threat to life and limb whereby you have to evacuate an area. You made a point about elderly people perhaps being trapped in their homes. I know that people don't want to hear this, but we have to put it in terms of averages. How many people, if we can't get to them, and God forbid, forgive us if we don't, but if we can't get to the elderly that are trapped in homes because of the snow or the ice, do you think it's going to approach the over 1,000 people that eventually died during Katrina? I don't think so. And I think the president knows that.
What do you mean the president knows that?
I know that the president knows that he's nowhere close to having the kind of George Bush numbers that we're talking about. President Obama knows that he can look at the snowstorm, he can bide his time to a degree, we can get the plows out there, open the streets, get to the elderly, And you're the one who brought up the idea of the elderly dying in their homes because we can't get to them. But we don't know how many of them there are. And I think the president...
Well, that's really not the point, though, Dean. I said, why are there no snowplows? Why is it that the streets have not been opened? Why is it that there wasn't an emergency declared? Why is it that, you got to open the streets somehow, regardless of what's happening weather-wise, because you have to get people in and out of areas.
I heard the president or one of the people in Washington, they said they have to get the snowplows off the street.
And what does it mean, get the snowplows off the street? What they're basically saying, though, Dean, is they're saying that they want the snowplows to get off the street while the snow falls so that they're not going and redoing the work they just did. How much snow is going to fall? Now, if you've got houses that are blocked in by snow, I'm just asking you, what's the secret? Why not get plows out there?
The plows that you're talking about snowplows.
Yes, snowplows.
Well, let me tell you, President Obama is, I think it was unfair of you to say that George Bush was accused of genocide by, and I don't know...
Was accused of genocide by the same people that can't find snowplows.
Even if they don't find snowplows, do you think that Washington, D.C. is going to be as bad off as New Orleans?
No, it won't. But it proves that had the Democrats been in power during Katrina, there might have been 2,000, 3,000, maybe even 10,000 people dead.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's where you're going with this, huh?
What do you mean that's where I'm going with it? If you can't find snowplows, if they were in charge during the Katrina disaster, good God almighty, how many tens of thousands do you think they would have found dead? Because these cats can't open up a couple of snowy streets.
I think that is the height of your responsibility to say that you're saying President Obama.
I'm saying a Democratic administration, for all of its calling names and telling us that George Bush was into genocide, had they been in charge during Katrina, based upon their response to the blizzard in Washington, 2 to 3 to maybe even 5,000 people would have died, because if you can't find snowplows to plow a street, how good are you going to be getting people evacuated from a city or getting medical attention or getting people to where they need to be in a flood?
I think the Democrats would have been far more proactive than they are now. And
I don't know what does that mean? They're not interested right now?
It is not as desperate a situation. And I can assure you that the Democrats, if there was a flood and they had to get people out,
then they'd take it seriously.
And you're saying that they're not taking this seriously. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this is about as good as they are, man. This is how good they are. No snowplows, can't open up streets, people in their homes can't get out. That's how good they are. So what makes you think they would have been able to get anybody saved during Katrina?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, now, come on, Mr. Wheeler. You know...
So you're vilifying a president.
I tell you what, take a break, take a breath. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. Was I wrong? I mean, that was my remark. If the president of the United States, and I'm not blaming President Obama because he's not the guy that pulls the trigger on all of these things. You got a Detroit City Council. You got the city government of Detroit. You've got, Washington, D.C. You have the city government. But the fact is, if you've got a political party that thinks George Bush butchered the Katrina rescue operation and the same people can't even get a street cleared of snow. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be back with Dean Wheeler in just a moment.
Oh, my. I can't believe it.
Phil Hendry. Take it easy.
Oh, my God.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Dean Wheeler of the Northern California Holistic Center about right now the blizzard of 2010 in Washington, D.C. And perhaps it's not fair. I don't know. But I had posted on Facebook today the following comment. And that was that the very same party that accused George Bush of sort of genocidal activities or actions around Katrina, this very same party cannot plow the streets of Washington to any degree that people can get out of their houses and move about the city. They're completely unprepared, and once the blizzard hit, they remained unprepared. And I can only surmise that had there been a flood...
You made that point, Phil. I don't mean to interrupt.
Excuse me, but I'm not finished talking, Dean.
You've made the point already, and I'd like to get to, I think, what is the essential point.
Excuse me, I haven't finished talking. This is my show.
You have already made this point, Phil, that had the Democrats been in power, 3,000 people would die, and you have no way of proving that, but they would have died at Katrina.
Well, I'm making the point again since it's my show. And I'm saying that based upon their actions in Washington right now, had there been a real disaster, for instance, a Katrina, there would be more dead people than you could shake a stick at, man. They'd probably still be counting them. How about that?
Okay, Phil, let me give you, and I hope I didn't interrupt you. Are you done?
Well, you did interrupt me, Dean, but yes, I am done.
I apologize for that. Phil, I think the point that I want to make to you and your listeners is this. You know something? If George Bush... You talk about George Bush and Katrina. If George Bush were president today, let's talk about what would happen with the snowstorm and the blizzard in Washington, D.C. We'd have a disaster. I have no doubt in my mind. Let's talk about what we know. And what we know, Phil, is that were George Bush president right now, the corpses of our elderly... And I don't even want to think about it. You know that Joe Biden's mother died today. She died after a long illness. She broke her hip. She died in Wilmington, Delaware.
I didn't know that. I feel very bad for the vice president.
Well, had she been living in Washington, D.C., she would have died from something else. If George Bush were president, she would have frozen to death in some kind of a snowbank.
Okay, you know, I think that kind of asinine hyperbole and guesswork is politically motivated. I don't think it has anything to do with reality.
Oh, I think it has everything to do with reality. Had Joe Biden's mother been living in Washington, she never would have had the joy of breaking her hip. She would have died alone, cold, and frightened in a snowbank. And I'd like you to think about that, Phil.
You can't say anything like that to be absolute fact. That's just you spinning events to politicize them.
All right, I won't spin events. Let's talk about if George Bush were president of the United States right now. See, you like to say, well, the Democrats this. We know what George Bush did, and we also know the way he'd be right now. If he were president, and we finally made it to some kind of a spring thaw, that would be the time we'd be able to count the dead, not before.
Well, I don't know what you're inferring.
I'm inferring that Mr. Bush wouldn't have the roads plowed any better than Mr. Obama. And in point of fact, the snow would pile so high, we'd have to wait for a spring thaw before we could count the dead. Now, Mr. Hendry.
And you're sure of that because of President Bush's behavior and the behavior of FEMA and his disaster relief people concerning Katrina?
I'm not sure of it. It's proof. So you can have your moment by saying the Democrats can't find the snowplows. Maybe they can't. But we know the Republicans were overseeing a disaster that took 1,000 lives. And if President Bush were in the White House right now, it would be a scene from Dr. Zhivago, I can assure you. People with rags wrapped around their feet, struggling along in a snowbank with a child or maybe two that they're trying to bring along with them. Horse carts, not cars, just people in horse carts, snowshoes, and a woman with nothing more than a shawl and a dead, frozen blue baby trying to bite into a crust of bread. Am I exaggerating, Mr. Hendry? Well, I don't think so. I think that's Washington, D.C. under George Bush.
I think you're making... You know what? I think you're going way over the top.
I'm not going over the top.
What do you mean people struggling down the road with rags wrapped around their feet, like in Dr. Zhivago? What we have here is a very, very tough weather situation.
What we have here, Mr. Hendry, is Siberia. What we have here is a Siberian wasteland that has visited the nation's capital, and you think that if Bush was president, things would be good? There'd be a woman standing at a railroad siding with a frozen baby. And you'd be saying, give it up already. It's frozen solid. You could take that baby out of her arms and tap it on concrete. See? Look. And she still wouldn't get it. And
what kind of a mind thinks up something like that?
What?
You could take the baby from her arms and tap it on concrete.
Well, if it's frozen, why?
Dean, if Bush, you know...
Let me tell you, if Bush were in power right now, he'd probably use this snowstorm as a pretense to attack some country in another illegal war.
877-876-PHIL. Your call's next. Plus, still to come, American Idol gets a bump in the ratings with Ellen DeGeneres as the new judge. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry.
What did I do?
Famous Phil Hendry Show. You can watch our show every night at philhendryshow.com. And you can also, and I get people asking me, what happened to your stuff on iTunes? Well, we took it off of iTunes. Why did you do that? Well, because it was a copyright violation. We didn't give any permission for anyone to put our stuff on iTunes. And when we see our stuff on iTunes, well, we take it off and we do a cease and desist. And if it keeps up, then we sick the FBI on them. And then they go to prison at the Supermax. Or maybe they can share a bunk with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed should that ever come to pass. See, that's what we do. No, I'm exaggerating, but we don't have it on iTunes, and we don't allow it on YouTube. And I know there's a lot of stuff on YouTube, and we will deal with those people when we deal with them. And the fact is, it is a it's an actionable thing. But what you can do, and I don't know, maybe you'd like to have a two-minute or three-minute or four-minute clip of lousy quality. I mean, you know, whatever. But what you can do is you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you can get the stuff for real. For $6.95 a month, which is like less, I don't know, that's pennies a day, as they like to say. It's not, it doesn't even come out to, I don't know, 3 cents a day. I don't know what it is a day.
Let me get a calculator out and I'm going to figure it out.
Okay, that'll be in about an hour, right?
Yeah.
Great. You know, and you can get high-quality audio streaming, high-quality video streaming, high-quality archival stuff, you know, whether it's audio or video. All kinds of things, TV shows that we've been on, interviews we've done, TV pilots, animated pilots, Steve White's animated clips of me and Bud in the studio. All kinds of stuff is there, man. $6.95 a month, and you want to go to iTunes and fool around with some crap that somebody who thieved the stuff anyway put up there in violation of the copyright. Now, people can do whatever they want, but that's what I suggest you do. So go to philhendryshow.com. I was just going to talk about one particular case where this one guy, man, he didn't think that he really, honest to God, he didn't think we were serious. And when he saw the FBI show up at his house.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL. So it may take me a while, but anybody that bootlegs my stuff, I don't mind people downloading stuff off the site and sharing with friends. That's fine. But when you put it up on a file sharing site, that says to me that you are... Or that individual is purposely taking our stuff, bootlegged, and or maybe they bought it, but they are now they're putting it on a file sharing site, and they're just sort of disseminating it to the world. So that's an actionable, that's a, what do you call that, man? That's a provocative, actionable thing. And so we, you know, go after those people, and we stay after them until we see the blood trail. I'm serious. You don't work for free. You don't go out into the world and work for people who didn't ask you whether you wanted to work for them or not. They just said, you, come here and work for me. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to pay you. And you'll work for me, whatever. Do you do that? No, you don't. You shouldn't. You wouldn't. Stupid to do that. And yet that's exactly what bootlegging material for the purposes of file sharing it. That's exactly what that is. You come work for me and we won't pay you. It's theft. It's outright theft. And it's theft of my work. And I, you guys can put yourselves in my position. You wouldn't want anything that you do stolen. You wouldn't want anything that you do used without your permission. You wouldn't want anything that you own. You wouldn't want people driving your car, for instance, without your permission. Coming into your house and eating your food without your permission. That's what bootlegging is. That's what illegal file sharing is. You would want somebody having access to your bank account, and whenever they feel like it, they can take money out of it. That is precisely what that is, see? But people who are on the internet, because it's anonymous and because there's a lot of very, very young users and because it's all so much fun, they see themselves as sort of, I don't know, Bo Brummels and revolutionaries against the system. And what they are in point of fact is they're just stealing from people. I mean, you know, and if it was done to them, they'd be screaming, like they'd be squealing, man, like pigs under a gate. But because they're doing it to other people, it's like really romantic and cool. So all I can tell you is I'm sorry that that's how they think, but we take it really seriously and we follow those people until we find their dead, frozen corpses in a snowbank. All right.
There you go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We got to start. Will you stop? Get out of here with that, will you?
That's great.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Now, we wanted to tell you about just a very, very brief story here. You know this billboard? Well, Mayor Sheldon Anderson of Wyoming, Minnesota, this cat used to be a listener of ours up in the Twins. In fact, he still does. Ain't that right, Sheldon? Sheldon. Anyway, Mayor Sheldon White of Minnesota, of Wyoming, Minnesota, was on MSNBC, was talking about this billboard that says, "Do you miss me yet?" Like, this is some kind of a big deal. Some cats put up a billboard. It's funny. It says, "Miss me yet?" with a picture of Bush. And MSNBC was talking to this guy like it's a war crime. Like, who would do this? And who did it? And why did they do it? And why did they do it? They did it because they wanted to do it. Let me ask a question of anybody who's at MSNBC right now. Do you get up in the morning, you people, and do you get a memo? Because you know that none of you, I mean, not all of you can be that dumb. I mean, there must be a few people over there that think for themselves. And do you find yourselves, like, tripping up a little bit and maybe your own opinion sort of bleeds through? And then when that happens, Keith Olbermann, you can just see him staring at you. I mean, is there a chip implanted in your head? And you got that picture of Olbermann with that big, ugly Big Brother kisser of his staring at you? Is that what it is? Booby? Anyway, the internet has been abuzz with rumors that if you drive down Interstate 35 near the town of Wyoming, Minnesota, you'll see a billboard bearing the image of a smiling George Bush with the question, "Miss me yet?" Many initially thought the picture was a hoax created through Photoshop, but now multiple people have confirmed its existence. The mystery surrounding a billboard quickly morphed from a fact or fiction into a genuine whodunit. Why pay for the ad, and what was their motivation? Can you believe that people are asking this question? Of course they're not asking that question. But Brett Michael Dykes at Yahoo had to make up a question. Otherwise, he's got no reason to write about this. All right, let's listen here to Sheldon, man. Our listener up there in the Twin Cities. Wait a second. Our listener up there in the Twin Cities. He's also used to be a PI, and he mailed me one of those voice scrambling phones, which I still have someplace.
Does this strike you as something that came from a George Bush fan?
Well,
no, not at all.
You know, I don't know. I think it's clever in getting to the broader point of the dissatisfaction of the American people.
All right, so that was Sheldon there, and here he is now.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of people have asked me if I was behind it. I've had people willing to make donations to keep the billboard up longer. But so far, up until the hunt started yesterday, it's been all positive.
And what happened yesterday?
Well, I think it got blasted across the internet, and a lot of different sources picked it up and are trying to, they're trying to out the people that did it. And I don't think that's the point. I mean, they're free to send any message they want, and I think it's very creative.
You know what I personally think is going on? It's a funny billboard. I doubt that the answer to the question that billboard asks would necessarily be the one that the people who put the billboard at would want. You know, miss me yet? No. You know, probably a lot of people would say, no, not yet. But what's going on right now was one other thing that we predicted, and that is, you know, what goes around comes around, you know, payback is hell. Call it whatever you want. The fact is that what's happening today is an extension of what was happening, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when Bush was in office, and that is there is a lot of dissatisfaction out and out. Dislike for this president, and there are people hell-bent at stopping him at every turn, and they are doing that by way of blogs and news sites and so on and so forth and billboards and whatever else. Nothing has changed, just the president's. Nothing has changed. The dissatisfaction of the American people is still palpable. And the same stupid way that they go about solving problems is still the same stupid way. And the bipartisanship that everyone says they want, which of course they do not want, because if they didn't have bipartisanship, if they didn't have partisanship, then politics wouldn't be fun at all. So when you say you want bipartisanship, I believe people want it, but they sure as hell aren't going to do anything to advance that. We need somebody, and I don't know who he is. It could be Obama. But you can't be president of the United States and say, I don't want partisanship, I want bipartisanship, and in almost the same breath say, we inherited this mess, because right away that pisses people off. Now, maybe that's the truth in your mind. And perhaps it is. But I'll go back to what I've always gone back to, and I never, ever, ever, not even Republicans do I hear, have the guts to bring up the fact that, there was a balance, there was a budget surplus, but we had a little thing called 9/11. And even if we'd never fought the Iraq war, if it had only been an attack in Afghanistan, we'd still be up to our ass in red ink. Yeah, but it wouldn't be that much. Well, it might not be that much, but it'd still be a deficit. There still would have been a blown balance, a blown budget, and there'd be people bitching about it. So in any event, the missed me yet? No, I don't know that you're going to get a whole lot of people saying yes to that one. It is a funny billboard. Unless somebody comes along and says, all right, here's how we're going to get this together. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine. They said, you know, when will the American people really embrace bipartisanship? I said, they have to be in pain. They have to be in enough pain where they're really going to go for it. And right now we're not in enough pain. The problem with that is this. You put a people in enough pain and they either look for answers or they give up and you've got sort of an anarchy, you know. And if America has ever been close to something, it's not a police state. People who think that America's close to a police state just don't, they don't understand. I don't think they even know where they are when they get up in the morning. That's how dumb I think those people are. Police state? You got to be kidding. This country is not close to a police state. This country is closer, and I'm not saying we're close, but if we're close to anything, we're close to anarchy. We got a million different opinions that are uttered by some of the dumbest human beings the world has ever seen, all demanding their right to say them. Enough stupid people who believe in half of that that'll keep some of these guys in a little bit of the greenback for a little bit of time. Whatever, you know, they're writing a book, or they got a 9/11 conspiracy theory, and they think that Obama wasn't born in America, or they think that George Bush and the National Guard, and, you know, every presidency, some new thing. But we're not going to have bipartisanship in this country until we're in enough pain. We're not in any kind of pain right now. You call this a recession? You call this a depression? I could get some guy in here like a politician. Well, Phil, why don't you come with me to some factories? Let me tell you something, jackass. I've been in unemployment lines in my life. I've been in many of them. Well, I don't think you know what it's like to feed a family. I know what it's like to feed a family. Yes, I do. Yeah, but not have a job? Well, I don't know, man. I guess, does that make me stupid that I wasn't broke and out of a job when I had a family to feed? I don't know what your point is. Are you calling these guys stupid? No, I'm not calling them anything. I'm just telling you something. I know what it is to be unemployed. I've stood in unemployment lines. I've gotten unemployment checks. I've felt the humiliation. I've felt the pain. And if you think we're living through something even approaching tough times, this is nothing. Oh, wow, man. You know, this is a recession. I'm going to tell you, this is the most candy-ass recession I've ever seen in my life. I don't give a damn if it's 10%, 11%, 12%, or worse than that. This is candy ass. And these cats that are bitching and moaning about this thing, man, about how this is the worst thing, this ain't the worst nothing. This doesn't even come close to some of these recessions. I remember the early 70s when I was starting out. I was a young adult, and nobody had work, man. They were shutting down projects, multi-million dollar projects all over the country. On top of that, there was a gas crisis because suddenly the Arabs decided they didn't want to sell us oil anymore. They wanted to push the issue with Israel by embargoing the oil. So we had a recession. On top of that, we had an oil embargo. Oh, and just to throw in a couple of other things, we had social unrest. We had the zebra shootings in San Francisco. We had the New Orleans sniper. We had the SLA. Oh, it was a ball. And you think this bull crap we're going through right now is some kind of tough times? This is nothing. And so if people are bitching and moaning about this, that, and something, the only way that people change is when they're in pain, real pain. This country's in no pain. We're still fooling around and playing the same games. We're calling people names. We're questioning where they're from. We're thinking of this and thinking of that. We're purposefully stupid. We're being dumb on purpose because that's the new national pastime. We're not in any kind of pain. We're not in any kind of distress. And until such time as we are, we're not going to come up with any answers. We're going to be the same stupid, factional country we've always been, which has always gotten things done. It's always solved problems. American people love gridlock. Whoever said that we don't like gridlock, we love it. We don't want extremes running the government. We want it right down the middle. We like a gridlocked government. That means middle ground. We don't want the far right, and we don't want the far left. We want the middle ground. That means we like gridlock. That means we like things right down the middle. That means we can sit and talk about being partisan or bipartisan. At the end of the day, we like things the way they are, okay?
So what does that mean? You don't have a recession or what?
We got a recession anywhere near as bad as people say it is. And as far as, you know, do you miss me yet, George? The George Bush billboard, I mean, that's life in America. Who did it? Whose fault is it? Who created the deficit? Who created this? Was it the Democrats? Was it the Republicans? Did they do this? Did they do that? It was created by the business community of America. That's what created today's financial crisis. That's what created it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody tells me. It was created by the business leaders, the business community, the business environment of America. The business people of America created today's economic crash, or whatever you want to call it. Why? Because they were not qualified to transition this country from the good old days of quarter to quarter and year to year and 1 year profit to 1 year profit. They were in no business, didn't have the qualifications. They were children at the wheel of a big speedboat. Had no idea how to transition this country from that stupid, silly game into something that was a little more long-term. Like, let's call it the next 100 years. You heard of that, huh? That's called the 21st century. And the competitors will not be, for instance, IBM or GM or Ford, or whether it's going to be GE or whether... No, the competitors are going to be the countries you've heard about. Brazil and China and Russia. That's what a competition is. Are we ready for that? Not quite. So we ought to get up off our dead asses and start getting ready for it. I don't give a damn what it takes, man. Does it mean we got to get green? Let's get green. So far, I ain't seen any need for that at all. What I see and what you see, I need a little bit of energy, man. That's what we need. Well, is it green? You can take green and shove it back up where everything else is green. How about that, Grandma? Right now, we need energy. Is it clean? Right now, we need energy because the Chinese and the Indians don't care whether it's clean or not. That's the, if you want the environmental question, that's it. And then we need, a whole bunch of other stuff. I'll get to that later. All right, the stories we can get to, the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'd like to thank our very good friend Dean Wheeler. I hate his guts, but thanks, Dean, for being with us. And our other guest, whoever the hell that was. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Well, you got to get those pictures developed. Bud Dickman has a bunch of pictures. Where were you?
I'm at the desert. I'm going to go to Walgreens because they can develop it.
Well, I know Walgreens. They still develop. They got a pharmacy over there. You can visit them at Walgreens and Walgreens.com. They have a pharmacy, right?
Yeah, I got a pharmacy. I'll go over there and get my photo developed, and then I'll pick up those drugs for you.
Don't say the drugs. I got a prescription from the doctor because of
because of your pneumonia.
Oh, man.
Talk about me, I'll put on pneumonia. By the way, Walgreens is a sponsor of the show, too.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Walgreens. All right, in the stories we couldn't get to tonight, authorities say a drunken man stole an ambulance from a Wisconsin ski area with the patient and paramedics still inside. The Dane County Sheriff's Department says emergency responders were treating a patient in the back of the ambulance at the Tyrol Basin Ski and Snowboard area in Mount Horeb on Monday night. They say a 24-year-old Illinois man got into the vehicle and drove it around the parking lot, hardy har har. The Sheriff's Department says deputies arrested the man, but it's unclear how he was stopped. I don't know. Just maybe they turned on their lights and said, oh, I better pull over here. Fitchrona Medical Service Deputy Chief Dale Dow says the ambulance's emergency brake was on and paramedics were still in the back when the man got inside. He says he doesn't know what happened after that. No other details were immediately available. I guess the guy was drunk, but maybe I shouldn't say that. In Brazil, a German man who went to Brazil for a woman he met on the internet has been camping out in an airport for more than a month after thieves took all his money and possessions. News of Klaus Gutschmidt's lengthy unplanned layover comes a week after another German who lived in a separate Brazilian airport finally went home. Oh my God. Gutschmidt of Neuss, Germany, moved into the international airport in the coastal resort city of Natal in late December. According to Rildo Tarquino, the airport's immigration chief, had been robbed while looking for a hotel after a one-week relationship with the Brazilian woman didn't work out. Didn't work out. Worked out for her, man. Her and her friends. Oh, yeah. Gutschmidt spent his time wandering the airport and sleeps on flattened cardboard spread on the floor. Food workers pool their money to buy him meals. Somebody get him the hell out of there. Isn't there one German with any money?
No.
There isn't? All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.